right, good evening. Good to see each and every one of you here tonight. And you know what? I want to tell you right now before we get started, if no one has told you today that you matter, I want to tell you right now. If no one has told you today that they love you, I love you. Jesus loves you. Because that's important for us to, I feel like, remind ourselves of that. You know, because sometimes you can get going in life and get busy, and everything starts happening all at once, and you get to stressing, and you're like, God, what am I going to do? Give it to Him. He loves you. No matter what happens, no matter what you've gone through, God still loves you. And if you had a good day, awesome. If you had a bad day, wait, because it's like the weather around here. It will change. Give it 10 minutes, let Jesus work. Right? I want to spend a little bit of time tonight. I just have a little short thought that I want to talk about tonight. I was looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And in the New Living Translation, it says these words. It says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Don't you realize?" He's saying, guys, remember, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. Over and over in the writings of Paul, he references us individually and as a church as being the temple of God. Why is this important? That's the question. Why is this important? The temple is where the Spirit is. See, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, they built a temple. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, they dedicated the temple. And as soon as they got done, you know, worshiping God, the presence of God showed up. It was an empty building, but when God showed up, everything was different. So, work with me here. So if the temple of God is just a building, and when God shows up there, it's awesome. How much more so for us? If we are the temple, see, the temple, God, it's God's manifestation. It's God's house. Paul's telling us here, God's house isn't this building that we're sitting in. It's us. His Spirit lives within us. See, God, when God signals His presence, things happen. When God's presence is in the temple, things happen. Things are different. When God's Spirit is in our temple, things are different. Or they should be different, right? Things are different when God shows up. He's telling us here, don't you realize you are the temple? The Spirit of God lives in you. So we need to take it with us. Don't leave God here. God is more than just a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night type of deal. When you're the temple, God goes with you in everything that you do. In every place that you go. See, it's about the presence. So many times in Christianity, we spend our time observing the presence of God. You know, we come to church and we have a good worship service and we say, oh, I felt the presence. Or we watch a good movie, a good Christian movie, and there's something in there that it pierces our heart and we say, the presence, I felt something in that. See, we spend a lot of time observing, chasing events, and chasing a high of Jesus, and we forget, we're the temple. Jesus is going with us. We don't have to chase after that high, that goosebump. You know when you're driving and you're listening to the Christian radio and a good song comes on and you got to pull over and you're like, ooh, Jesus, I felt Jesus. Guess what? You can have that all the time. You can have that all the time. That's what he's telling us here. Remember, You're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God is in you. It's in you. Take it with you. Don't leave it behind. See, we chase the presence. We observe the presence of God. But the challenge is to move from seeing God to carrying Him with you, to having Him with you. Because observing it and carrying it are two different things. See, to carry His presence, it's being instead of searching. It's being with God instead of always trying to search for the next high of the next song that I can feel some goosebumps. No, it's walking in His presence and being with Him. See, we are the representation of Christ in the world around us. When we start walking in His presence and remember that we're the temple, we are then His representation. We're the people that look. What people see when they think of Christ. Our attitudes, our actions, how we act directly represents the temple, directly represents the Spirit of God. In Colossians 3 and 16, it says these words. It says, "Let the message about Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. Let the message fill your lives. Let the presence fill your life. Not just on Sunday." Because it's easy to be a Sunday Christian, but God wants us to be a Monday Christian and a Tuesday Christian. And He even wants us to be a Christian on Thursday. Woo! And on Friday too, brother. And Saturday. All the days that end in Y. I'm looking at you, Kayla. All the days that end with Y. See, let the message fill our lives. Teach and counsel each other with all of the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. When you've got the presence, you can't help but be thankful for the things that He's done. For the thing that He is, the God that He is, you can't help but be thankful for those things. But it says, let all of these things fill you. Let the presence, as the presence fills you, you're going to sing songs. Even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, it says sing it anyway. Sing the presence. And in verse 17, Colossians 3 and 17, it says this, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." Whatever you do and say. In the King James, it says, in word and in deed. See, everything that you do, every part of you, when you're at the grocery store or you're at Walmart and you don't want anybody to recognize you, you ever do that? I do that. Wear a hat. I love it. I'm telling you, the whole mask and a hat thing, it's great because people don't recognize me. Literally, the other day I was at Walmart, and Sister Tony, she's not here tonight, so I can say this, but she was right down the thing from me, and I'm just getting my stuff, you know, in my own little world. She looks over, she goes, "Oh, I didn't even recognize you, brother." I said, "Yep, I know. That's what I wanted." But see, here's the thing. It says in everything that we do, in all of our words and our deeds, when we're going to Walmart, when we're picking our kids up at the school, and I'm mad at the person in front of me because they won't pull forward. Or you're at the, let's get it universal. When you're at the McDonald's and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're still waiting, it says in everything, even in that waiting, do it all as a representative of Christ. Everything that we do, everything that we say, every action, be mindful that we represent the Spirit. We are the temple. We represent God on earth. What's our representation like? So that's a hard question. See, and that's a question that as Christians we should ask ourselves repeatedly, is how am I representing Christ today? Did I make it? Did I do good today? Did I do bad? The great thing, even if you do bad, His mercies are new every morning, even when you mess up, even when you screw up, even if you get mad at the people at McDonald's because they're taking too long for your chicken nuggies. Preach, right? Yep. See, it says in word and deed, in everything that we do, good days, bad days, in between days, we are representative of the Lord Jesus. And it says, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. See, we're supposed to represent Christ. In Ephesians 5 and 1, in the New Living Translation, it says this. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are His dear children. See, again, anytime the Bible repeats something, it's important. Just like when you repeat stuff to people or your kids, it's usually important. See, he's saying, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. A pleasing aroma. A pleasing aroma. That's going to be important. It's telling us, have a life filled with love, like Christ. And see, He was a pleasing aroma. He was a good smell. So if we're supposed to be like Him, we're supposed to, what? Smell good. We're supposed to smell good. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, it says, but thanks be to God, He has made us His captive and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. There it is again. Smell good. He uses, let's repeat that. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. You're supposed to smell good. See, smell is very important. Smell is the strongest sense. It brings up the deepest memories. There's certain things that I can think about and think about the smell, and I remember some memories from long ago. See, smell is very important. And it's telling us here, He uses us to spread the knowledge like a sweet perfume. We're supposed to smell good, not smell bad. We're supposed to have a pleasing aroma. How do we get that aroma? We spend time with Him. See, the more time we spend with Christ, the deeper His presence is in our life, and the more we're going to smell. The more aroma that we're going to give off. See, it's like this. I'm a big fan of food. We've established this over this time that I've been here. I love food. I like to go to the Mexican restaurant, right? Get a little cheese dip. Get a little fajitas. What happens when you go to El Perion? The longer you stay there, the more you begin to smell like El Perion. The longer I'm there, the more I smell it. And sometimes I've been there, and I'll be hours later. I'll be sitting there, just minding my business, and I'll just catch a whiff of the fajitas. And I'm like, whew. And I remember, whew, that was some good times at the Mexican restaurant. See, the more time I spend in there, the more I smell like it. Conversely, the more time we spend with Christ, the more we smell like Him. The more we give off His aroma when it's all about Him instead of us. See, the more presence means the more smell. See, our life is supposed to give off an odor. Your life gives off an odor. Is it a good odor? Do you smell good? or do you smell bad? Do you smell good or do you smell bad? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, going on to verse 15. It says, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Okay, our lives are supposed to smell. You're supposed to smell good. You're a good smell. Like brownies that are baking in the oven. See, that's the smell of Jesus. I'm telling you. It's not in the Word. That's you know, 4 Jeremy 10:8. The aroma of your life smells like brownies. See, that's a pleasing aroma. The aroma of our life shouldn't smell like a 13-year-old boy that has discovered Axe body spray. I'll let that sink in for a second. Have you ever done that? See, the thing is with when a 13-year-old kid, he discovers the Axe body spray, what happens? You smell them in the next room. Sometimes you got to open all the windows in the house, right? See, they're giving off an aroma. It's not pleasing, but they're giving off an aroma that goes before them. It's the same thing we're supposed to be doing when we go through life and give off an aroma of Christ. People are going to take notice. People will notice your aroma. The amazing thing is people will change. If you have enough of the presence in you, it can't stay in you. It has to get out and hit all of the people around you. And you'd be surprised how things will change in your life around you. And the people around you will begin to change the more presence that you have in your life. It's all about the presence. Now, 2 Corinthians 2 and 15, it says, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. Your life gives off an odor. It's supposed to give off an odor of Christ, but not everybody gets the odor. Not everybody understands it. It says there, it's perceived differently by those who are being saved, by Christians, and by those that are perishing. To those that are perishing, it's a dreadful smell. But for those that are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. See, not everyone is going to get it. But that doesn't get you off of the hook. You still got to smell good to get that. Just because people don't always understand the smell you're giving off and the presence that you have in your life doesn't get you off the hook. You still got to love them. You still have to give off the fragrance of Christ no matter what. Because see, we are called to represent God. We are called to carry His presence and to be a light in a dark world. And that's what I want to encourage you with, is this. What is your smell? What is your smell? Is it a good smell or is it a bad one? You got a smell, but remember, smell good. Smell good. Like brownie. Not like Axe body spray. Okay? And that's what I want us to remember. So we're the temple. His presence should go with us. Wherever we go, in whatever we do, and it will impact those around us. Because that is our mission as a church. And as a body of Christ, is to be a light into a darkened world. And the only way we can do that is to remember we're called to represent Him. We're called to carry His presence to everyone, whoever it is, whenever it is, to let our light shine out. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. Lord, I ask that you would help each and every one of us to remember each day that we're your temple. And help us to remember to carry your presence with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, and no matter what happens to us. And to help us to have a sweet-smelling attitude and be a pleasing fragrance to you, Lord. And we give you all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.